Radha-gadadha-sri vasati gaur bhakta vandijaya Shishi Radha-Krishna Gopa-gopata-sayam-kun-radha-kunda Giri-gauvardhan-kijaya Vrindavanam-kijaya Maturam-kijaya Navadeep-dam-kijaya Jagadatha-sami-kijaya Yuvanamai-kijaya Shivadagalasi-devijaya Samarita-bhakta-vrindikijaya Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda. Okay, so Om Aganath Premananda Shah. Kananjana Shilakeya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tezmai Sigurve Namaha. So, very happy to be here on this very auspicious day, and I want to speak a little bit about this, the things that occurred today. Of course, the first one is Visvarupa Mahotsava. Mahotsava means a great festival. So Visvarupa, of course, was the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the older brother, and Visvarupa is considered to be an expansion of Lord Nityananda. So of course, he was quite older than Lord Chaitanya, and he would associate with the Dvaitacharya, and of course Lord Chaitanya would sometimes go and bring him back home, and Dvaitacharya was amazed at the bodily beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what happened with Visvarupa is that once upon a time, this is actually very much instructive for us as far as renunciation, not all of you, because many of you are married. But anyway, once upon a time, he heard his parents talking about planning a marriage for him. As many of you from Indian culture know, that there's a lot of pressure for sons to get married. A lot of pressure. You know, I always talk to my disciples who come from the Indian background, and I say, are your parents putting pressure on you yet? They said, yes. Maharaj, finally a devotee wife. Before my parents arrange someone who's not a devotee. This happens all the time. And I'm out of the marriage arranging business. You know this. I've resigned. I'm retired. But anyway, so it's a lot of pressure. But you must get married, you must get married. And of course that reminds me of the story of Shripad Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya wanted to take sannyas when he was like 7 years old. His parents were real upset, and they said, we have no other son, and he made a deal with them. If you have another son, can I take sannyas? So that at the ripe old age of 9, he took sannyas. That was a nice story. So anyway, as far as Visvarupa is concerned, he was hearing his parents discussing, we got to get Visvarupa married. Should it be this girl? Should it be that girl? She's nice. Yeah, she's not so nice. So they were talking like this again and again. Visvarupa was listening in the door, and he was thinking, oh my God, he is God. But he was also thinking, oh my God. Oh myself, you know. And so he just said, in the middle of the night, he just left. And his parents were bereft, of course, as Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were bereft. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was consoling them, and he said, don't worry, I won't take sannyas. Of course, that was not exactly fulfilled, that particular promise. But in any case, he said, don't worry, I will always be with you. And then his father, Jagannath Mishra, was thinking, the reason Visvarupa took sannyas is he found out this material world was miserable. He had too much education. Something like the story of Lord Buddha, too, right? That Lord Buddha, Siddhartha, when he was young, his parents heard from an astrologer that he was going to take sannyas, you know, renounce everything. So his parents thought, you know, we're not going to show him the true nature of this material world. They prohibited any old people from coming into the kingdom, or what to speak of sick people, what to speak of dead bodies. Everything was just very beautiful. And they married him a beautiful young wife. Nobody had any diseases in the whole kingdom. And so then eventually he went out and he discovered, shockingly, that there was death, disease, and old age, and then he took sannyas. So anyway, so Jagannath Mishra was thinking, the reason he took sannyas is he had too much education, so we're not going to send Nimai to school anymore. So he wouldn't send Nimai to school. And Nimai, that's Lord Chaitanya, became so rambunctious, cheeky, whatever you call it, that he decided to show his parents he should go to school. I mean, one thing he did, he became a juvenile delinquent for some time. You know what juvenile delinquent is? Anyone know what that is? I guess you don't use that term here. That means someone who's underage and they're a criminal. He actually became like that. He used to go into the fields of the other persons in Sridhar Mayapur, and he would dress like a, he and his friends, they'd dress like cows and tear down all the crops. So he really became rambunctious. And so then after that, the final coup de grâce, because that's French, was that he sat on the pile of rejected cooking pots. And in those days, they would actually throw the pot away after they cooked. It was a clay pot, so they could do that. And it was considered unclean. So then his mother came up and said, you know, come down from that, Nimai. She said, he said, you know, you're not sending me to school. How am I going to learn the difference between clean and unclean? Plus, he started preaching Mayavad philosophy. He said, everything is one. So his mother was thinking, you know, if we don't want him to become a Mayavadi and we want him to distinguish, we have to send him back to school, and therefore he went back to school. So that's, anyway, and then Visvarupa later on passed away, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the search for Visvarupa as an excuse for him to go to South India to preach Krishna consciousness. So that's Visvarupa. Now, as far as our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada is concerned, he took sannyas on this particular day in the Keshava Gaudiya Math. He was encouraged by Keshava Maharaj, his godbrother. The other godbrothers were not encouraging Prabhupada. They were saying, you know, just remain in the math and just do some service like that and just calm down, abide for room. But Keshava Maharaj, he, and Prabhupada was very close to him, and Prabhupada had to celebrate Keshava Maharaj's disappearance day when he disappeared from this world. So Keshava Maharaj just said, you know, you must take sannyas. You must take sannyas. In fact, Prabhupada said that he was seeing his spiritual master speaking through Keshava Maharaj, and on this glorious day, Prabhupada took sannyas. And if you see pictures of Prabhupada when he took sannyas, he appears like basically a soldier, like he's holding his danda, but it appears like a soldier that's going out to conquer the enemy, like with a weapon, isn't it? Like Prabhupada standing like, very, very serious. I mean, it's incredible. And so Prabhupada took sannyas as meaning a dedication to the order of his spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada, amongst all the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, showed that he was the most dedicated to the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because many devotees, at least those who spoke English, got the order from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach in the Western world. And Prabhupada was the one who took it seriously. And Prabhupada was the one who took seriously Lord Chaitanya's statement that in every town and village his name would be chanted. When other godbrothers of Prabhupada were presented with this particular quote, they thought it was just like, you know, it's a nice metaphorical statement, every town and village, you know, it sounds nice. But Prabhupada actually said, it's going to happen. And not only did he say it would happen, he had this vision of it happening. It's like when Prabhupada was in New York, you know, someone asked him, you know, what are you doing here, Swamiji? And he said, I have so many temples and so many devotees. And just time separates us. So it's the power of vision based upon the faith in the order of the spiritual master. It's really interesting. You know, if one has a specific vision, and of course the order of the spiritual master contains within it the success potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one can accomplish anything. You know, like my own example with Prabhupada, I was in Los Angeles when Prabhupada gave us all the order, and I was part of the team, to produce 17 books in 2 months. And the devotees were saying impossible, and Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. It definitely is. Only a fool uses the word impossible. Because on the order of the spiritual master, the impossible becomes possible, like Lord Chaitanya, it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a dog can swim an ocean, a blind man can see, or a lame man can climb a mountain. So anything can happen. We have to have that faith. And that was that faith in a spiritual master that was actually proof of Prabhupada's exalted position. You know, many people can say, oh, my exalted position is that I can see Radha and Krishna. You know, I'm a gopi or whatever. And, you know, I can give you your siddha day, tell you what your siddha day is. I can tell you what your 11 aspects of your personality are in the spiritual world. But actually, Prabhupada showed the most important aspect directly reflecting this verse, or the verses from Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur in the Guru Vashtika, which Prabhupada was very fond of, and Prabhupada also related that verse with the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Budhirekeha Kuru Nandana, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasya Prasada Na Katikatopi. So our success in spiritual life will be determined how much Prabhupada is pleased by serving his mission, by expanding his mission. And in that light, I wanted to read from Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan. It's quite lengthy, but I hope you all bear with me. I was actually, one interesting story, I was reading 1 year for Prabhupada's disappearance in Vrindavan, and I got stopped halfway through. For two reasons. It was lengthy and it was too heavy. Because, anyway, I guess it is a little too heavy for Vrindavan. But Prabhupada wrote it in Vrindavan, and it's really interesting. The first part, Prabhupada shows his, like, renunciation and his understanding that everyone is his family. You know, because at this point, Prabhupada had just extracted himself from a situation that was not productive to Krishna consciousness. Like, Prabhupada's family was not productive. And had Prabhupada had a wife who was actually submissive, not just submissive, sorry, but had a wife who was actually cooperating with the spreading of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada would remain a grahasta. And in fact, he could have even taken his wife to America. And that would have been a team for preaching. So it's not that sannyas, in an external sense, is absolutely necessary. But one should always be situated in a way to further one's service to the spiritual master, whether it's sannyas, grahasta life, it really doesn't matter. These things are just external. All right, so we're going to read, maybe I'll read the whole thing, and maybe some few verses. I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money, so they are all a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Bhagavatam. Yashahamanagrinami harishye tadanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the Absolute, the All-Merciful? Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone, this is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. So it's just like, you know, you can just picture Prabhupada saying, you know, that I have all these people. But now, you'll read about this. But now that I have no money, anyway, Prabhupada states this. In this Maya Samsara, who do I really love? Where are my loving father and mother gone to now? Where are my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Like the froth on the seawater mixes with the sea. So I'm going to skip this particular verse. But everyone is your relative brother on the spiritual platform. This relationship is not tinged with the smell of Maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. All are your relatives, brother. All the billions of jivas. When seen in relation to Krishna, they are all in harmony. And then Prabhupada talks a little bit about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how we're not the body. As a result of past activities, he takes on different types of bodies. Absorbed in that dress, he remains forgetful of Sri Hari. Therefore, Maya gives him so many kinds of miseries. And although he bobs up and down in this ocean of misery, he still thinks that he is happy. Lying on a bed, suffering greatly, having been sick a long time, He says, I am very well today. And he laughs. I get a laugh out of his feeling very well. This is the way the soul conditioned by Maya feels well. In other words, when the pain stops for some time, that's the happiness in the material world. It's actually based upon the cessation of suffering. And then Prabhupada says, no one is well in this material world, but still they are sane. In this way, Maya cheats the conditioned soul. Again and again, I'm skipping quite a bit because it's quite lengthy. Again and again, making plans, again and again, they are destroyed. The mad say, then Prabhupada talks about the impersonalists or Mayavadis, everything is formless, without any special feature. And then Prabhupada replies, he is actually, that is Krishna, the storehouse of spiritual tastes, raso vai saha. The best of all, Madhurya, is the essence of them all. But in the spiritual world, all these tastes are relishable. Whereas in the material world, whereas the material tastes are just shadow reflections that are all contemptible. One who worships Krishna is clever, but one who worships Maya is a pauper. Becoming a pauper, one engages in temporary pastimes. Without knowledge of the true relationships of things, he simply becomes bound up in Maya's knot. Arjuna and Duryodhana both fought in the same war, but Arjuna was the best friend and Duryodhana died. On one battlefield, both dear and detestable, one who is intelligent will be able to understand. Let's skip it over a little bit here. One who fights on behalf of Krishna. Wealth, power, knowledge are all within his grasp. Understanding the Gita's message, you will attain Krishna's service and will worship Sri Hari. The devotees are endowed with all qualities. So what are nonviolence or freedom from anger to them? Sri Hari teaches the living entities by means of his devotees. One such helper is Partha. Arjuna acted just like a conditioned soul, like one bewildered with the Pandava brother, violence to his relatives, and then enjoyment of the kingdom. Could this be happiness? Arjuna showed lamentation. This, though, was all Dehatma Buddhi, the identification with the body. One who is a Kshatriya gives up such family affection on the battlefield. Let's see. And then Prabhupada begins to criticize here those who simply want to engage in Nirjana Bhajan and Vrindavan and not do any service. This is what I got in trouble for. He said, the Vaishnavas have no desire. They all chant on japa on beads. So what kind of Vaishnava is this Arjuna in the middle of samsara? The Vaishnava freed from duality simply chants on japa on his beads. And so Prabhupada is actually quoting those who are engaged, just want to sit down and chant, not do any practical service, and not preach Krishna consciousness when he says the Vaishnava freed from duality simply chants japa on beads. And then Prabhupada really gives them an insult at this point. He says, so say those who are eating the mind's bananas. Eating the mind's bananas. In other words, let me repeat some of the... So Prabhupada is emulating those who just simply think you just sit down and chant and forget about the world, don't do any service, no yukta vairagya, don't follow the order of your spiritual master. He says, the Vaishnavas have no desire, they all chant chop on their beads. So what kind of a Vaishnava is this Arjuna in the middle of samsara? The Vaishnava freed from duality simply chants chop on his beads. And then Prabhupada said, so say those who are eating the mind's bananas. You know, just like, I don't know if you have that expression here, but if someone's crazy, we say they're bananas. Your brother? They're just eating the mind's bananas. You know, they're crazy. The Vaishnava is without desire, and here Prabhupada is talking about a real Vaishnava, and amicable by nature, but he is not a forceless weakling as people foolishly think. In two great Indian wars, two great personalities, leaders amongst the Vaishnavas, and they were victorious. Because of desire for the satisfaction of his own senses, he would not fight. But he is one who is known by everyone as a Vaishnava. Those who do not see the real Vaishnavas say that a Vaishnava is inactive. But the Vaishnava is always active in the service of the Lord. The lifeless Kanishta Adhikaris don't perform any service. For profit, adoration, and prestige, they stay in their lonely place. Lord Nityananda, who is worshipable by the Vaishnavas, suffered blows, but he still distributed love of God, one after the other. Gaurahari came with a chakra in his hand and gave punishment. After that, the Vaishnava haters were all subdued. The Lord himself sets an example to teach the jivas. So one who performs nirjan bhajan simply cheats himself. The world has now become full, Hare Krishna, of jagais and marais. The Nityananda Vamsa, that is those who claim themselves descendants of Lord Nityananda. The Nityananda Vamsa has increased its following of disciples. But eating, sleeping, wearing the dress, but remaining unconcerned, it is not proper for the Vaishnavas to remain so uncompassionate. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said so in his Madhurya Kadamani. Just see his conclusion, and what is his judgment? Devotional service is causeless and self-manifesting, but the eternally perfect substance is always covered over. The Majjhima Adhikari, therefore, being compassionate, gives mercy to the innocent souls by awakening devotion in them. The Supreme Lord acts according to the will of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the bewildered can be awakened. The Vaishnavas can awaken the sleeping world. By their mercy, the sinful can all become devotees. Therefore, they do not perform nirjana bhajan. You see why I got in trouble. Because there were a lot of people there. You know, sometimes I say things that are not politically correct. That is the world cheating process of the Kanishta Adhikari. So Prabhupada is saying, basically, those who are just doing nirjana bhajan and not carrying out the Lord's order to preach, you know, Yare de Gatari Gar Krishna Upadesha Marigai Guruhoi Tore Desh, he's calling them Kanishta Adhikaris at this point. It's a very heavy thing. And all the big, big famous Vaishnavas were in assembly. And then he gives the name of some important person. Asked them, came in to meet with them, and he asked some questions about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, but that association of venerable Vaishnavas was not able to enlighten him as to the real truth. The Kanishta Adhikaris do not understand these scriptures. In the false pride of being alone, they simply hunt for chapatis and dal. Our spiritual master said, these are all Kanishtas. Now I can understand the truth of what he said. One well-versed in the scripture and who has strong faith is an Uttama Adhikari and can deliver the whole world. He is the deliverer of the most fallen and most famous throughout the world. Now save this fallen one and thus become really famed. In the Kali Yuga, the Jivas are all fallen and the lowest of mankind. Seeing, they do not see the different activities. This needs some editing. The Supreme Lord Gaurachandra is the most magnanimous, and his instructions are full of nectar. One who has taken his birth in the land of Bharata, or in Fiji. I'm adding that. Because you're all descendants of Bhartavasis. Should engage in the welfare activities according to his instructions. The Supreme Lord's Leela was to relish mellows in the forest, but it is not the play of Vaishnavas to imitate those activities. The transcendental service cannot actually be tasted by those who are not Vaishnavas. In the material body, one cannot relish this transcendental nectar. One who has the material concept that the body is itself cannot relish transcendental or spiritual mellows. But those who have conceptions of the Vaishnavas in terms of birth, etc., are very bold. In other words, he's talking about the so-called Goswami caste at this point, are very bold when it comes to relishing the leelas of the Lord. Like the clerk in the post office, one caste Goswami, the Babaji's pay all their obeisances to him a lot. The Gosai Thakur, who has false pride in his birth, Nityananda Prabhu cuts into pieces this false pride. I see all these things going on in Vrindavan. Therefore, I can understand that there is some work to be done here. The Prakriti Sahajas all commit adultery, taking someone else's wife. They go on to relish transcendental lila. This is not Vrindavan, as many people think like this. Remember the lotus feet of the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis came and preached religious life. They saved the process of devotional service on the order of Lord Chaitanya. They were all perfect associates of the Lord, and always remember Radha and Krishna. Remembering them, all the conditioned soul's sins are cleared away. But if one tries to imitate them by taking on their dress and characteristics, he becomes the plaything of Maya and does not cross over the material ocean. Always preach. We should preach to the jivas from door to door. Your life will be successful as a result of your preaching. Hmm. And then, Shri Daitaya Das, that's, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave this instruction. Chant Hare Krishna loudly. This is my initiation. Kirtan is not just the sound of drums and cartels. The sound of kirtan is not this modern system. Anything favorable for devotional service is all Madhava, and the only enjoyer of the three worlds is Yadava. Maya's pride and joy, the radio sound, destroy them all by forceful kirtan. Maya is all these newspapers. Preach that throughout the whole world. Sitting alone in your room shouting, that is, in other words, just chanting and crying out in ecstasy, you may increase your bile secretion. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But in 10 million births, Sri Hari won't be pleased. Sri Hari is no one's father's property. He's also preaching to his godbrothers here, too. Come out of your cage. Stop making objection. Everything belongs to Sri Hari, and Sri Hari belongs to everyone. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra loudly. By the performance of such sankirtan, there will come remembrance automatically. And then there will be a nirjan bhajan manifested in the heart spontaneously. So this is actually the message taught by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that if you want to achieve a higher platform of devotional service, the method is preaching Krishna consciousness. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at one point he had vowed to chant a billion names of Krishna. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He was sitting in his hut, very austere, didn't even fix the roof of the hut. It was raining. He held an umbrella. And then in the middle of this vow, Lord Chaitanya interrupted his vow. And Lord Chaitanya said, go out and preach. And in doing so, he showed more than anyone else the principle of Yukta Vairagya, which Prabhupada continued in that same mood, of utilizing everything in Krishna's service. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time, in order to shock the Babaji's in Radhakund, he came to Radhakund in this very opulent car, some say Rolls Royce or whatever. Whatever car it was a big car, wearing, you know, the Western coat and everything like that, just to shock the Babaji's. To show them, you know, your real business is preaching Krishna consciousness. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world being disgusted with his disciples because they didn't take this message seriously. They were fighting each other, basically. And he gave Prabhupada the instruction, you know, if you can ever distribute books, you could sell the marble from the temple. So you see, the point I'm making is you see that Prabhupada exactly 100% imbibed the mood of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in this way, teaching us how to become advanced in Krishna consciousness and realize our spiritual identity in the spiritual world. Rather than just going around, I mean, of course, we can go to Vrindavan too. Rather than just going around Vrindavan, what's the story here, what's the story there? I remember one devotee, he went to Sevakunj because he heard Radha and Krishna dance there every night. So he slept the night in Sevakunj, thinking he was going to see Radha and Krishna. He didn't see Radha and Krishna. He came out crazy the next morning. Even the monkeys leave Sevakunj at night. So anyway, that's our method of self-realization. We have good sadhana. Actually, we have several tracks. We have Pancharatriki Vidhi, Bhagavad Vidhi, like that. But the Pancharatriki Vidhi is to keep us fixed in the mode of goodness and fixed in our sadhana, fixed in our determination so we can go out and spread Krishna consciousness. So everyone is meant to do that. Somehow or other, bring people to Krishna's lotus feet. Okay, on that happy note. So any questions or comments? What's that? Everyone. I mean, in our one of the temples I'm in charge of in the United States, we have this nice program called Weekend Warrior, where once a month everybody goes out, the whole congregation. We had like 80 or 90 people in Sankirtan one day, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So everyone should try to figure out, how can I best bring people to Krishna? Because the world is, you know, people are suffering. If you just ignore someone's suffering condition, you know, like you walk by and someone's on the road just like bleeding to death, and you say, Hare Krishna, that's your karma. Then what kind of person are you? I mean, how can you call yourself a devotee if you don't have compassion? So many people are suffering and you're just sitting and enjoying yourself eating prasadam. So that should be our mood on this particular, not just on this particular day, but these were the thoughts that came to me on this particular day of Srila Prabhupada's taking sannyas. So, any questions? Yes, Madhavendra.
Before Prabhupada went there,
you should not take sannyas. You have a good wife. You stay with her for the rest of your life. Just listen to her instructions. So, yeah.
His godbrother went to West. His godbrother went to West before Prabhupada.
Yes. He had Bhan Maharaj and others who went to the West before Prabhupada.
To make Krishna conscious, but some reason it did not succeed. Is any reason why? Because
well, it's not my business to criticize Prabhupada's godbrothers. But the story goes that they actually had, Bhan Maharaj actually had a pledge to pay for a temple in London. Someone in India, there was a king, there were many kings in India at that particular time. This is before the independence of India. And they had a lot of money, all these different kings. So he had a pledge to construct a temple, a financial pledge, construct a temple in London. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that king not to give him the money. So somehow or other, there was some there was some displeasure on the part of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as far as how they were preaching. And there is that famous story where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked, you know, how much success have you had? And they said, well, they all want to eat meat. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, then give them meat and have them chant Hare Krishna. I mean, that's a heavy statement. And then when, there's another story when some English dignitaries were coming to Sridhar Mayapur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur even arranged so they would feel comfortable that they have some meat. They didn't eat the meat, but he was arranging, you know, for preaching. He said for preaching, so here's some more stories coming to my memory. He said, preaching, we should be willing to shed gallons of blood to make devotees. That should be the mentality. And Prabhupada had that mentality. I'm not going to criticize his godbrothers. And there's an interesting story from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's pastimes, that once upon a time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur arrived at a temple and there was a deity installation. Many, many devotees were there. Hundreds or thousands of devotees were there for a deity installation. And then he looked around and he asked about a particular devotee who he didn't see. And the devotee said, we had to ask him to leave. He was a little crazy. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said at that point that I'm not doing the deity installation. Because we're shedding gallons of blood to make a devotee. And you sent that devotee away. So they all went out and found him, brought him back. And he did the deity installation. But that was his determination and compassion for people. And, you know, so often we let devotees slip away. You know, he just blew. He was in Maya. She was in Maya. That's not the mood of our grand spiritual master, or for some of you, great grand spiritual master. And that's not the mood of Srila Prabhupada. We should always be willing to go out and try to find the devotees and bring them back. Anyway, so somehow or other, it wasn't successful. And there's things that Prabhupada said, but it's really not my, it's not proper etiquette for me to repeat what Prabhupada said about his godbrothers, because they're his godbrothers. The godbrothers are my spiritual master. But Prabhupada was successful. And Prabhupada went with, and also when these devotees went to Europe to preach, they were being supported by the Gaudiya Math. They were getting money from the Gaudiya Math. When Prabhupada came to America to preach, he wasn't getting money from anybody. He arrived with, let's say, $10 worth of rupees, which he couldn't change because there was no black market at that time. Nowadays there is. But he couldn't change them, and he had nothing, no, just books. Prabhupada's books. And that's all he had. And I mean, now, this year, of course, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada coming to America. Next year, it's the 50th anniversary of ISKCON's incorporation. So Prabhupada came just with books, with faith in his spiritual master. And you can read other poems that Prabhupada wrote, like Markandeya Dharma, and other poems that Prabhupada wrote in Boston or on the ship coming over the Jaladutta, coming over, that really illustrate Prabhupada's absolute dependence upon Krishna and his dedication to the order of his spiritual master. If one is dedicated like that, like I said, you can perform miracles. And Prabhupada expected that of us. And I remember in the early days, you know, I'm not saying I was more dedicated, but we had a lot of dedicated devotees. That's why we were able to do those 17 books in 2 months. And the devotees just said, we're going to do it. And the impossible became possible. So that's the mood that will lead us to pure Krishna consciousness. So any other questions or comments? Questions or comments? Who wants prasadam? Where is prasadam? Yes?
There's a comment, Srila Prabhupada was, he was, anyway, he was saying he wanted, he was talking about the acharyas, and he was saying he wanted so many acharyas, he was saying, you know, I want 1,000 acharyas, I want 10,000, I want 1,000,000, 10,000,000 acharyas.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to be a guru, too. And so, you know, ISKCON needs to open up a little bit. But you're already a Dronacharya, so. That means he teaches us how to fly drones. I own everything. I haven't given you guru doctrine yet. But. So, yeah, I mean, actually, we should open that up. And the women should be acharyas too. I mean, this is controversial. I'll probably get kicked out of here. You know, because if people are all offered that opportunity, they'll step up to the plate. But if you try to say to people, all you can do is just remain, you know, just be simple, be humble, you know, roll your chapatis every day, and be shy. You know, Prabhupada said the women should be shy at home, like, what is it, like lions on the chase, like lambs at home. So then you're really keeping people down. You know, if you really want to spread the movement, you have to say the sky's the limit. When I joined, the sky was the limit. You know, 6 months after I joined the movement, I was giving Sunday feast lecture. You know, people pushed me to do more and more. I mean, The temple president was Sasvarupa, who is married. That's why I didn't say Sasvarupa Maharaj. And he said, you're giving the Sunday feast lecture. I said, me? He said, yes. Okay. You know, so I was pushed like that. And so I gave the Sunday feast lecture, and I was really happy I gave the Sunday feast lecture. And, you know, throughout the movement, I have been pushed to do more and more. I haven't been pushed down. I've been pushed up. And that's what we need to do. I mean, maybe not so radical as, you know, having gurus when they're 23 years old. I think that's a little too radical. But, he's telling me to stop. So, but we need to have like a career path for people. You know, probably more training, obviously. You know, like, we do have this GBC college right now. You know, more training for people to... Obviously, it would be good for those who become sannyasis or gurus to have, like, 4-year seminary training. So they have more philosophical understanding, more practical understanding. They know how to counsel people. I mean, I learned how to counsel people by trial and error. And that's really not the best way to learn here. You know, someone comes to you the first time and says, you know, I have problems with my wife. I said, just take sannyas. Solve the problem. Yeah. And then I learned that didn't work. Yes. So then after that, the man came, I have problems with my wife. Okay, let me preach to her. You got to be submissive to your husband. That didn't work either. So after a while, I learned to be a little empathic, you know, and be able to deal with people. So it would have been better had I had training in these things, you know, rather than learning on the job. It's like learning how to drive a car. You know, just they put you in a car and they say, okay, drive away. No instructor, no nothing, no double steering or anything. It's like, drive away, okay. You'll certainly have a lot of accidents on the way. So there obviously needs to be more training, but there needs to be an understanding. We want millions, billions of, maybe not billions, but we have millions of gurus. And when people take that responsibility, they come up to the mark. It's really interesting. You know, qualified people. When you give responsibility to people, they become responsible. If you don't give people responsibility, then how will they become responsible? So, it's a good point. And that's the way our movement can change the world. And then we'll have so many different varieties, different types of preaching. Because everybody is a different person, has different personalities. Like you see in our movement, we have people who are extremely conservative and people who are extremely liberal. And of course the conservatives don't like the liberals, but I understand that. So, but we need all these varieties, isn't it? Like, you know, tonight we're going to eat so much nice prasadam, there'll be a lot of varieties. Because Tilakini's a good cook. But we need these varieties, so there'll be like so many different varieties of gurus. The ladies should be gurus, the qualified ladies. Why not? Why not? You know, it's an emergency. I mean, if you go to Israel, they have the ladies are in the army. Right? I mean, because it's an emergency. Where they're surrounded by all these people who don't really want them to exist. Can you imagine living in a country, and every country around you is just saying, you know, actually, they don't even consider you exist. Because if the maps, the way they people that draw up maps in some of the countries, you know, the Arab countries, is they don't have Israel on the map. Seriously. Except on the war maps, you know, for attacking. And so you're surrounded by people who just want to get rid of you. So, you know, you got to enlist everybody to fight at that particular point. Everybody, you know, men, women, of course, maybe probably not children. So we're surrounded not by people who want to get rid of us, but we're surrounded by people who are suffering. So we have to deputize everybody to help. Just like in the old West in America, there were a lot of criminals, obviously, and they were all carrying guns. So you didn't have time to train up so many soldiers or whatever, and they had to deputize people. That's why they call it deputy sheriff. You ever hear that expression? That means you're not a real sheriff, but you have to deputize you. All right, you're a sheriff. Here's your badge. So it was an emergency situation. So we're actually in an emergency situation. Everything, the whole material world's on fire. People are going to hell in a handbasket. And so we gotta really take advantage of the devotees we have. Shouldn't be any of these glass ceilings. You know, if you reach a certain point, you can't advance more than that. After 45 years in the Hare Krishna movement, you're still washing pots. I mean, I haven't asked you to give a class. Oh my God. Anyway. So it's a good call. Thank you. All right, Tempur Pashadam. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prashadam Ki Jai. Prashadam Ki Jai. Let me just turn this off.